mentioned yesterday that one of the prominent Rishonim lived in Seville. His name is Ibn Ashbeli. He asked the Bachman Yeshiva, they'll think that that was his father's name, Ashbeli. So Yitzchak explained that the sin of Seville became a shin, and we pronounce it Ashbeli, but it's really, he was Rabbeinu Yontef from Seville. The Ritva was a very prominent Rishon. After the death of the Ra'or, he was really a student of the Rabo and the Rabbeinu Pinchas, the brother of the Ra'or, the older brother of Rav Nachman. Because the Ra'or, Rabbeinu Halevi, who himself was a student of the Ramban, because the Ra'or and Rabbeinu Pinchas had their unique style of learning, very unconventional, very razzle-dazzle, very cheerful, very levitic, original approach to everything. That's why whenever you look in the Ritva, there's always something very cheerful, extremely cheerful. In fact, in Europe, when they used to, some of the Kisveyad of the Ritva, when they would discover it, so they would print them, so they would write on the first page that the author's name is Rabbeinu Yontef, the Ritva, and they would write, B'chol Mokam Shadvar Magim Sosem Simcha V'Yontef Lehudim. Because when you read the Ritva, it's always very cheerful. He always has some very cheerful idea. We have from the Ritva Chidushim on the Gemara, on quite a few Masechtas, which are used in all the yeshivas. Everybody uses the Ritva. Then we have Tshuvas from the Ritva. Obviously, he was recognized as a major posek, and he sent Tshuvas to other cities as well. And we mentioned a few days ago, we have the Sefer HaZikaron, which was written by the Ritva to defend the Rambam and the Mor Nevuchim from many of the kashas of the Ramban al HaTorah. Ramban in his commentary on Chumash often quotes from the Rambam and the Mor Nevuchim, and often rejects, most of the time he rejects what the Rambam says. So we mentioned the other day that one of the tainas that the Ramban had against the Rambam, how can he say that Yaakov fighting with the Malach was only a dream if it says in the Chumash that Yaakov was limping the next morning? That shows it wasn't a dream, shows that it really happened, he was really fighting with the Malach. So the Ritva, I mentioned, the Ritva said, well, sometimes you have a psychosomatic sickness. So he says he was limping because the dream was so real in his mind, he felt as if the Malach had broken, as if what he saw in the dream, that he was fighting with the Malach, as if it really happened. And the Ritva has a small sefer, where he defends many of the issues, many of the positions of the Rambam and Mor Nevuchim against the kashas of the Ramban on Chumash. We have many practices today, halacha lemaisa, that are based on shitas of the Ritva, and I'd like to mention some of the positions of the Ritva that are followed and some which are not followed. So take for example at a wedding. So the common practice is for the last at least 150 years, maybe more, maybe 250 years, I don't know. So the common practice, the Shach quotes this, and the Ketzos HaChoshe makes a big fuss about this, that at a wedding, you single out two witnesses to stand under the chuppah. We call this Yichud Eidim. You single out two witnesses who are kosher leiders. Kosher leiders means they're not related to each other, nor are they related to the chasen or the kala, and they're honest people, they don't cheat in business, Haganah v'spasaleidus, and they're Shomer Shabbos, and they keep kosher, they're not Balei Aveira. So you single out two Eidim, and you tell them to have in mind that they should not be Mitzurev, they should not combine with any of the other people in the wedding hall. Why? So this was a big issue that was discussed by the Balei HaTosfos. The Mishnah in Makkos has a din of Nimtzechet Ben Eidim Korva Pasul. If you have a whole group of witnesses, and one of them is Pasul Eidus, so you can't even accept the testimony of the others. So this is a problem that the Balei HaTosfos raised. Ech Matzini Yedeinu V'Ragleinu, whenever you have a chuppah, Taisus says the same, whenever you have a get. Apparently in the days of the Balei HaTosfos, when a couple would get divorced, so all the uncles and the aunts and the cousins, everybody would be in attendance. Today that's no longer the practice. They don't invite all of their relatives. But in the days of the Balei HaTosfos, just like the whole family would be present at the chasana, at the chuppah, so the whole family would be present. by the gerushin as well, by the get. So Tosis poses the kasha, even if you have two kosher witnesses, the halacha requires that for a get. And for kiddushin, you have to have two kosher eidim watching, and if you don't have kosher eidim, the kiddushin doesn't take effect. That's what we call in the yeshivas eidus l'kiyam adover. That term was coined by Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. The term was coined, the idea appears in the Gemara, but he was the one who coined that term. So the Balei HaTosis raised an issue. You can never have any, even if you have two kosher eidim watching by the chuppah, but you have all the relatives watching. So even the kosher eidim are not kosher to testify. So Tosis solves the problem by saying that this din of nimtzeched min ha'eidim korban pasul only applies if a group of witnesses came to Beis Din and testified by eid ha'meid. But if they're just watching something that happened and they don't come to Beis Din to testify, so the pasul ha'eidim do not pasul up the kosher eidim, and there's no problem whatsoever. Tosis writes like this in a few places, and they feel that there's absolutely no problem whatsoever. The Ritva has a taina against Tosfos, even according to the logic of the Balei HaTosfos, that Eid HaMeid in general doesn't pasul by Korva pasul, but by Achuppah it should pasul, because the whole reason why Eid HaMeid is not called an Eid, because it's not Mekai Medover. But by Achuppah, the Eid HaMalekim Medover, he is Mekai Medover. So by chup and by get, you should merely say korv apostle, even by eid haroya. So that's why the Ritva says that his rabbeim introduced this chumrah to have yichud eidim. You have two kosher eidim stand under the chuppah, and they have a mind not to be mitzurif with anybody else. So even though you have all the psulim watching, it doesn't pose any problem. There's another famous Ritva. We have the practice. In order not to violate Bal Yerod by Matzei, so we all have the rabbi sell the chametz for us to a nochri, and it's chemtzel shal nochri b'shus ha-Yisrael, and there's no Bal Yerod. So there's a big discussion in the Gemara in Pchoiris, in the beginning of the second parak in Pchoiris, exactly how are you supposed to make a kinyan to sell metaltalim to a nochri. The Gemara derives from Psukim that however, whatever kinyan is needed, when a Yisrael sells to another Yehudi, when one Yehudi sells to Yehudi, when a Yisrael sells to an Achri, it's going to be a different kinyan. It's going to be a different kinyan. So which kinyan are you really supposed to make? So because of the different opinions as to which kinyan works, the common practice is that the Rabbanim who sell the chametz make six kinyanim. They make... The Nochri doesn't make a Kinyan Hakbah. He doesn't go around to the home of every Balabas and pick up the Chametz. So first we make a Kinyan Mo'oth. The Nochri pays for the Chametz. So according to some Rishonim, our problem is solved. According to Rashi, the Chametz belongs to the Nochri. According to Tosfos, Mo'oth doesn't work by a Nochri, only works by Israel. So we make a Kinyan Chotzer. We rent the apartments to the Nochri, and then we say the chametz is located in the apartment, so the nochri should decline the chametz for the kinyan chotzer. One of the poskim holds that kinyan chotzer doesn't work by a nochri, so we make a kinyan agav. Other poskim hold kinyan agav doesn't work by a nochri, so we make a kinyan according to din in the malchusa. Some poskim hold kinyan din in the malchusa is only mid the rabbanon. We want to make sure that we get rid of the chametz on the level of the rice and not just on the level of the rabbanon. So we make a kinyan kifi meaning hamadina, kifi meaning asochrim. We shake hands with the nochri. And shaking hands is considered a kinyan kifi meaning hamadina. And after making all the five kinyanim, we make another kinyan, a kinyan chalipin. Kinyan chalipin. So the nochri gives a handkerchief to the rabbi, in exchange for which the rabbi transfers over ownership of all of the chametz, of all of his balabatim, to the nochri. So why do we need all the other five kinyanim? Why don't you just make the kinyan chalipin? The Rabbi Natam says halacha l'maisa, the kinyan chalipin works by a nochri. So the Shach says he wouldn't rely on the Rabbi Natam because the Ritva disagrees. And the Shach thinks the Ritva is right. The kinyan suder, kinyan chalipin, doesn't work by a nochri. And it's simply based on the pasuk in Megillas Rus, the whole source of the institution of kinyan chalipin is the pasuk in Rus, was also lefanim be Yisrael. So it says be Yisrael. This kinyan only works be so, it doesn't work be Nachrim. because of this Ritva, that's why we bothered to make all the other five Kinyanim. Each Kinyan has an opinion who holds that it doesn't work, and the one who holds that Chalipin doesn't work is the Ritva, and the Shach Paskal like the Ritva. There's another famous Ritva that became very famous in the last 60, 70 years in the yeshivas. Until then, nobody ever heard of this Ritva, but in recent years it became very popular. The Ritva on Yuma explains a difficult passage in the Gemara. So he wants to give a mashal to his explanation. So he says, we all know that after the sun sets, there's a period of time that we consider Bein Hashmashes. We treat it as a Safik Yom, Safik Laila. So we usually assume that what does it mean, Safik Yom, Safik Laila? We're not sure when the day ends, when the night begins. And whenever the day ends, that's when the night begins. That's the next day. Up until the end of the first day is Yom, and the beginning of the next day is Laila. So the Ritva has a novel interpretation. He says, no, that's not the nature of the Safik. Says that Bein Hashmashes is this period of time after the sun sets has both elements of Yom and elements of Laila, which constitutes a Tarte Disasri. That's a contradiction in terms. It can't be both Yom and Laila at the same time. So we treat it as if it were a Suffolk. It's not a real Suffolk that you don't know if it's Yom or Laila. It's both Yom and Laila. And whenever the Halacha has a situation where you have opposing elements, contradicting elements, the Nalacha treats it as if it were a Safik. So this idea of Bein Hashmashes being a Tarte Disasri, whenever you have a Tarte Disasri, the Nalacha treats it as if it were a Safik. This became popular in the yeshivas in the last 70 years. There's a famous Ritva on the first Daf Gemara in Kiddushin. The Gemara has a very humorous, strange, unusual discussion. Hoisha Niknis Bisholas Drachim. Why does it say Drachim? Why doesn't it say Dvarim? And how come in other areas in Halacha it says Shlosha Drachim, here it says Sholosh Drachim? So the Gemara says the word Derech is sometimes Zocha, sometimes the Keva. And very, very funny Gemara, very strange Gemara. So the Ritva comments on that Gemara that this was not originally in the text of the Gemara. This was added on by the Rabbanan Tzavaroi. Every so often we have a few lines in the Gemara. Here you have a whole Daf Gemara, the whole Beis Amud Aleph and Beis Amud Beis, a whole Blat Gemara, which was added on by the later Rabbanan, by the Rabbanan Tzavaroi, following Rabbeinu Rav Ashi. There's no halacha discussed there at all. So the Ritva, that's a famous Ritva that the students who learn Gemara Kiddushin learn on the first Daf, that the real Gemara, the text of the Gemara, really begins on Daf Gimel Amud Aleph, when the Gemara says, Kesef Min Olon. How do you know that an Isha is Miskadesh is the Kesef? And the whole discussion up until then about the use of the word Dvarim and Drachim, Loshen Zachar, and Loshen Nekeva, the whole funny discussion is really not from the Talmud, that's really post-Talmudic. That's from the Rabbanan Tzavaroi. In his Tshuvas, the Ritva has several very significant discussions which are relevant halacha lamaisa. There's one discussion: if you have a Sefer Torah that's missing a letter or two, can you read Kriyas HaTorah from such a Sefer Torah? So the Ritva quotes from the Balei HaTosfos. We don't really have the Psokim of the Balei HaTosfos. We have commentary of the Balei HaTosfos on the Gemara. So the Ritva quotes a Psak LaHalacha from the Balei HaTosfos that, let's say this week we're going to learn Parshas Balak. So if you're missing something in Balak, so you can't learn Balpeh. But let's say you're missing something in Parshas Chukas. So the Ritva quotes that the Balei HaTosfos are of the opinion that if you're missing anything less than a Yiriya, the Gemara says, the expression in the Gemara, Sefer Torah Shechasi Yiriya Achas, you're missing a whole Revi'ah, Yiriya. Yiriya means from one stitch to the, from one set of stitches to the next set of stitches, which is going to be 3, 4, 5 columns, a whole bunch of columns. But if you're just missing a word here and there, you can read the Parshas HaShavua from such a Sefer Torah, as long as there's nothing missing in the Parsha that you're learning. So the Ritva quotes that this was the position of the Balei HaTosfos, and in Spain the practice was like the Rambam says, and like the Gaonim say, the Sefer Torah Shechasa Ois Achas, if you're missing one letter, you cannot learn from the Sefer Torah. So Sefer Torah, the practice in Spain is not like the Balei HaTosfos, and and that's the way it says in Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch was written by Rabbi Yosef Karo, who often follows, most of the time follows the Chachmei Svara. If you have a Sefer Torah missing a letter, the whole Sefer Torah is puzzled. If you have a Megillah Esther that's missing a word here and there, so the Gemara says you can lane from that Megillah Esther, provided that 51% of Megillah is written, and you're missing less than half. So Megillah Esther, we know the din in Sefer Torah is a machlekes, and we also know what the psak is. The din in Sefer Torah shechos harisach is no good. Question is, in a lot of shuls and a lot of yeshivas, in recent years, they instituted a practice to read Nevi'im, the Haftarah, from a klaf. And the Baal Kori has to prepare. He has to prepare to know the trap by heart and to know the nekudas by heart. So the question is, what if the klaf that you have, let's say the Haftarah is from Yecheskel HaNovi. I know that there are words, there are letters or words missing from this klaf, from this Sefer Novi. Do I gain anything by laning from the klaf? Well, they say, no, it's a puzzle of Sefer anyway. Just like Sefer Torah Shechos HaRaisachas is puzzle, so this is not called Mitoch HaKstav. So you gain nothing by breaking your teeth and breaking your head to memorize the trap and the kudas. May as well read the Haftarah from our printed Chumash. So the question is, which is the rule and which is the exception to the rule? Is Megillah Esther the exception to the rule because Megillah is Nikras Igeris? Gemara says, on the one hand, Megillah Esther is Nikras Sefer, certain dinim like a Sefer Torah. On the other hand, Nikras Igeris is like a letter. In a letter, you're not so makbid if you missed a letter here and there. You have to go correct a private letter that you sent to someone. So is it a kula, a special kula in Megillah Esther, or is it a special chumrah in Sefer Torah? Perhaps, because it says in the Chumash, right, at the end of the Chumash Devarim, Vayikachalos Moshe Lichtav is called Dibre HaTorah Hazos. When Moshe Rabbeinu completed writing the Sefer Torah, everything, till it, Chalos Moshe Lichtav, he completed writing everything, and he gave the Sefer Torah to the Levim, Shevet Levi, and he told them that they should put it in Tzara Ram Reis Hashem Yasham B'choliyeh. So maybe that's a special din in Sefer Torah, as the Pasuk says in Chumash, that you have to write every single word, every single letter, till the end. You don't rely on Ruba Kukula. So maybe that din doesn't apply to the Vim of Ksuvim. So the Ritva raises the issue in his Chuvis. And we're not sure what his answer is. It's obscure. So the Chuvis doesn't read straight. But this is the question that they discuss in all the yeshivas. This is an ongoing debate in all the yeshivas and all the shuls where they're makbid to lane haftiras from a klaf. So they have the shaila. A lot of times the klaf, we know the klaf is missing a letter here and there or a word here and there. Do you gain anything by being makbid the lane from the klaf? The Ritva has another very fascinating tshuva where he points out there's a special din that only applies to mezuzah in tefillin, that we require ksiva kesidron. Let's say when you write Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, you have to first write the shin, then the mem, then the ayin, then the yud, then the shin, then the resh. The writing has to be in order. Let's say someone wrote a mezuzah, and then he realizes that he left out a word in the middle, he left out a letter. So you cannot correct it by adding on a letter or a word later on, because the ksiva will turn out to be sholei kesidra. You didn't write it in the correct order. In the Sefer Torah, there is no such halacha. There's no requirement that the ksiva should be kesidra. So the Ritva writes a very, very original chiddush. I don't think it appears in any other svarim. I don't think any of the sofrim are makbid about this. The Ritva writes a very fantastic chiddush that these four parshiyos of tefillin, Shema, Vayoyim Shemoa, Kadesh Vayokim Yacho, require ksiva kesidron even when they appear in the Sefer Torah. It's not a din that tefillin need ksiva kesidron. The din is that the parshiyos of tefillin, so the parshiyos of tefillin even in the Sefer Torah, are labeled as parshiyos of tefillin. So those four parshiyos require ksiva kesidron even in the Sefer Torah. This is a very original chiddush. The Ritva, again, the Ritva was a Talmud of the Ra'o and Rabbeinu Pinchas Halevi, Achi Rabbeinu. And they were very original, they were very unconventional. So the Ritva a lot of times also has unconventional, very original chiddushim. Very cheerful, very original ideas. So that's why very often we do not follow these original chiddushim of the Ritva. We mentioned waited 24 hours, he could use it for milchiks. So the Ritva writes that the Talmidim pleaded with the Rebbe, Rebbe, we know that you're right, but people say that you're a Shegit, that you're an Abaya, and you're doing Shaloi Kedin. So he writes that his Rebbe, the Ra'o, is so insistent, he said, right, he's right, he's not going to give in to the pressure of the outside world, the other Rabbanim. I'm not going to give in. My sheet is that you don't need two sets of dishes and goodbye. Don't bother me. So the Ritva did not accept that from his Rebbe. He writes that's what his Rebbe held. The Ritva was much more mainstream than his Rebbe. But still, the Ritva was that style of very cheerful, original style of thinking. That's why there are many chidushim of the Ritva that are not accepted. There is a very relevant on Ksubis, Rabbi Yashiv paskens like this Ritva, and the whole world is not machmer for this. The Gemara has it in that there's an institution of Geirus. If an Anjou wants to convert, he has to first be mekabel all mitzvahs. He has to commit himself to observe all the mitzvahs that come his way. And then he has to, if it's a man, he has to undergo bris milah. And if it's a woman, they just need the tefillah. Man needs milah tefillah in addition to the kabbalas on mitzvahs. And the women just need kabbalas on mitzvahs with tefillah and a mikvah in the presence of the best. So the Gemara has it in that a ger katan, if a Jewish family wants to adopt a non-Jewish baby, so the Gemara says that it is possible to convert a little baby. Because we assume that it's really in the best interest of the child to become a Yisrael. It's better to be Yisrael than to remain a Nachri. So the Ritva raises a question that all the Rishonim raise. But where's the Kabbalah Sol Mitzvahs? The child doesn't understand anything. He's an infant. He has no Seichel at all. So how can you have a Geiris without Kabbalah Sol Mitzvahs? So all the Rishonim give different explanations. So the Ritva gives the following Chiddush. He says, temporarily, as long as he's an infant, he's a lav badas, so there's no need for kabbalas on mitzvahs. But when the child becomes of age, when the girl reaches 12 or the boy reaches 13, now he becomes a badas, then you need a kabbalas on mitzvahs in the presence of a bezin of three, upayom. You have to convene a bezin bayom. There's no yeshiva's bezin balayla. You have to convene a bezin bayom when the child reaches the age of 13 and ask him, is he mekabel all mitzvahs? So, all the rabbanim know that Rabbi Yashiv likes this ritva better than the other pshatim of all the rishonim, and he thinks that one should be machmer for that position. But this was clearly not the practice for quite a few centuries. Nobody has been following this ritva, nobody ever heard of this ritva. So the practice is not like the ritva. In the Chuvis, the Ritva has a machlekes between his two rabbeim, between the Rashba and the Ra'o, regarding the Shaila Halacha Lamaisa, which comes up a lot now also. We have a principle, we have a din mid the Rabbanon, a Tivish Chimera, Kiksuvim Rimasurin. If a person is sick in bed, and he's not well enough to walk around, and he gives instructions that when I die, you should give so much money from my estate to this one, you should give to that one. So mid the Rabbanon, there's a din, we have to honor that request. If he dies from that sickness, let's say if a person is sick in bed, and he leaves instructions and then he recovers from his sickness, then there's din the Rabbanon does not apply. But if the end of the story is that he dies from his sickness, he was lying in bed because he was sick, and he left instructions what to do with his assets, so then when he dies, you have to follow his instructions. So the Gemara says, what if I am a ger, and I'm not related to a soul in the whole wide world, because gershin is gayer, kikon shenoladam, he has no relatives. So this ger, the Gemara tells a story, there was Issa Ger, there was a man who converted, his name was Issa, and he became a Yehudi. And he wanted to leave his assets to a certain person. So the Gemara says, since the ger, who is about to die, doesn't have any yorshim at all, he's not related to a soul in the world, so the whole din of divrei shchid meira mid rabbanon doesn't apply to him. Because the din of matnas shchid meira was patterned mid rabbanon, was instituted, patterned after the din of say, so Shechemira means he's sick in bed. He's going to die in another couple of months. He's going to die. Not holding by Gesisa, but he is a Shechemira. And he leaves instructions that they should give his assets to Tzedakah. Now, the Shechemira who dies has relatives. He has children. If he doesn't have children, he has nephews, he has nieces, he has cousins, he has other relatives. He's not a ger. The ger is not related to his soul in the world until he has his own children, until he has a wife, or until he has children. Here, the person is about to die, the Shechemira is a Yisrael, he has a lot of relatives. So he does have the koyach of Yerusha, but the tzedakah can never yarshin from him. So this was a major dispute between the Rashba and the Rahoa, and it appears in the Tshuvas of the Ritva. The Ritva presents the whole machlekes, he quotes this Rebbe, he quotes long text of the Tshuva of the Rashba, and the long text of the Tshuva of the Rahoa. So it's interesting, some of the Rishonim were of the opinion that Mata Shechemira Ki Yerusha Shavir Ravana means that basically, if everybody would die, the only people who left in the world would be me, and this person who's absolutely not related to me, but if everybody else in between us dies, he's the closest relative. So with the Ravana we treat it as if he's entitled to the Yerusha. But it's Tzedakah, even if everybody else in the world will die, the Tzedakah can never yarshin for me. It's not a person, it's an institution. It's a corporation. It's a chalash and bailus, but it's not a person. So that's why there was a major machlokes harishonim, whether Divrei Shechemira applies or not. We always study the Ritva. In the yeshivas, we always study the Tshuvas of the Ritva and the Chidushim of the Ritva. But his position is always considered seriously, but very often we will not follow his opinions because he's more conventional than his Rabbeim, more conventional than the Ra'or and Rapinchus Alevi, but still because he had this flair for non-conventional style of learning and sheer originality and genius. So that's why a lot of times we don't follow his opinions. It's interesting, for years there was available a Sefer Chidushi HaRitva on Masechta Shabbos. It was always published in the collection of the Chidushi HaRitva on Seder Moed. And the Gedolim, about 100 years ago, realized that that's not really the Ritva. They can tell by the style of writing. The Ritva has a very cheerful style. That's why in Europe they wrote on the sharp block, Kol Mokom Shadvar Magim, Sos of Simcha V'Yontav Lehudim, because of his cheerful style in writing. So they knew all along, they knew for 100 years already, that the Ritva on Masechta Shabbos is really a misidentification. And in recent years they came to the realization, about 70 years ago, they came to the realization that the Ritva on Shabbos is really by the Ran. And what goes under the name Chidushi HaRan and Masechta Shabbos is really by somebody else. And then they found the actual manuscript of the real Ritva on Masechta Shabbos in Eretz Yisrael, and that reads like a Ritva. That reads with a cheerful style. It's interesting, in the history books they write that there were two Rabbanim who lived in the same generation, both with the same name, Rabbeinu Yontif. One was the Ritva, and the other one was the author of the Migdal Oz on the Rambam. On the Rambam they have different commentaries. So the Migdal Oz is one of the earlier commentaries. You have the Magen Mishneh, always gives you sources. The Rambam never tells you what his source is. Is it the Mishneh? Is it the Tosefta? Is it the Gemara? Is it the Yerushalmi? Is it Tshuvas Hagoyim? And does anybody else disagree with the Rambam? So the Magen Mishneh always usually takes care of that. He gives you all the sources of the Rambam, and if the Rambam disagrees, or if the Magen Mishneh wants to disagree, he'll let you know. Whatever, there's no Magen Mishneh, so the Kesef Mishneh of the Yosef Karo will give you the source, and so on. The Migdal Oz was also the period of the Rishon, Rabbeinu Yontif, and he always gives the sources for the Rambam. Then whatever the Ravid disagrees with the Rambam, he'll always defend the Rambam. But he never says anything too intelligent to defend the Rambam. He just says the Rambam is wrong and the Rambam is right, and the Rambam is always right, and the Rambam, that's what it says in the Gemara. And the students of Gemara who look in the Rambam, look in the Gemara, Bal Tashlis on the paper. He shouldn't have written his sefer. He writes Dvar B'Telem. He just wasted all that paper. He says nothing. He has nothing to contribute. Once in a long while, the Migdal Oz will quote the Tshuvas HaRambam to the Chachmei Lunel, so it's valuable for that. Once in a long, long while, the Migdal Oz does say something of value. But usually, when he gives you the Marmakatas for the Rambam, it's valuable. But that we already have in the Magen Mishnah. When it comes to defend the Rambam from the tightness of the writer, so usually he doesn't really say anything. So the issue is everybody has much more respect for the Ritva, these two contemporary Rabbanim. Everybody has much more respect for the Ritva than they have for the author of the Migdal Oz. Because Migdal Oz never says anything, and the Ritva always has something very original and very cheerful to say. So the history books, they tell the story. No one knows if it's true or not. Tell the story that the Almana of the Migdal Oz married the Ritva as a Zivik Sheni. After her first husband, the Migdal Oz, passed away, she married the Ritva. And even though, as far as learning is concerned, everybody had more respect for the Ritva than they had for the Migdal Oz, but she made a comment, the Yontav Sheni, the Gabi Yontav Rishon, Kachol Shavu Rabbanon. This is an expression that appears not exactly in that form. It appears in the Gemara in the first Perek of Beitzah, back to organizing a levaya on Yontav Sheni. So the Gemara says on Yontav Rishon, you're not allowed to be machalal Yehudim, Yisraelim, are not allowed to be machalal Yontav. You have to have an ochri, do the malachas. If you want to have a kvura on Yontav Rishon. Yantav Sheni, Yisraelim, even Yehudim are permitted to do the malachas. Yantav Sheni, the Gabi Meis, Kechol Sham Yom Rabbah. That's how it says in the Gemara. So they write in the history book that the wife made a comment, the Almana of the Migdal Oz made a comment when she married the Ritva. So she said that her first husband, the Migdal Oz, was a holy tzaddik than the second husband was. True, the second husband knew how to learn better than the first husband, but in Tzidkus and Hasidus, the first husband was a bigger tzaddik. So she said Yantav Sheni, the both names were Yantav. She said Yantav Sheni, the Gabi Yantav Rishon, Kachol Shavu Rabbanon.
We say Tfilat HaDerech, and we are about reaching Carmona.